From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. During our previous episode of Naps Chat, we were joined by Naps Executive Vice President Chuck Mulador, and we discussed Naps's role in successfully advocating for passage of H.R. 3076, the Postal Service Reform Act. And we also spoke about a number of issues related to the legislation. As Naps Chat listeners have heard me say before, I have a special place in my heart for congressional staff members who labor in the shadows of the senator or representative for whom he or she may work. On this week's episode of Naps Chat, we are fortunate to have as our guest a senior staff person for the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee who worked diligently in support of H.R. 3076, providing the necessary staff work to craft and pass the measure. Therefore, I want to welcome Annika Christensen to Naps Chat. Annika is a professional staff member of the committee, Managing Chairman Peters, that's Gary Peters of Michigan's, Postal and Government Operations Portfolio. Prior to staffing the committee, Annika worked for Representative Brenda Lawrence of Michigan, handling the Congresswoman's House oversight and reform responsibilities. Annika began her legislative career in the office of former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada. Welcome to Naps Chat, Annika.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and we're so honored and pleased to have you here. And congratulations on the Senate passage of H.R. 3076.
Thank you so much.
As I referenced in your introduction, you worked on both the House and Senate sides of the Capitol. I'm sure our listeners would like you to compare working for the House as compared to working in the Senate.
Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, I worked in the House for Congresswoman Lawrence, who is the only member of Congress who's a former postal employee. So that was wonderful to work for her. And I worked very closely with the committee, the Oversight and Reform Committee, in that capacity and building those relationships that we rely on to this day. And it was different to work for House personal office as well as Senate personal offices, which I've done before, because you work on a very broad range of issues. And, you know, you're focused on everything that the state or the district is interested in. So I was lucky to focus more on postal in working with Congressman Lawrence. But now in the Senate for Chairman Peters and when he was ranking member, I really focus on postal, even more specialized and able to spend a lot more time on important priorities like postal reform. And working with all the committee members and the ranking member and members of Congress as a whole.
Obviously, you had a transition when you moved from the House to the Senate. But I want to talk about a different type of transition that occurred on the committee a number of years ago. As we know, Senator Carper, for some time, was spearheading postal reform efforts. He transferred his postal portfolio to Senator Peters when Senator Peters became the lead Democrat on the committee. Carper moved on to the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. Do you know if Senator Carper provided any advice to Chairman Peters? And if so, what advice can you share with us?
So I will say, you know, Senator Peters has always had a focus on postal issues ever since he was elected to the House in 2008 and then in the Senate. And when he became ranking member of his GAC in 2019, and when I started to work for him at that point, he dove in even more and has really worked on a lot of Postal Service oversight and legislation in his committee position. And Senator Carper's always been a key partner on postal, so they've always had a great relationship working together on the committee. And Carper has been a champion for quite a long time. So I'm not aware of any advice specifically that they've exchanged, but his office has been great to work with and very supportive every step along the way, including on postal reform and throughout this process.
It was funny. I was watching the video of the press conference after Senate passage, and the only one who was smiling broader than Chairman Peters was probably Senator Carper. behind the podium when they were talking about passage of 3076.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there were a lot of smiles, and I think it was a great moment for everyone.
In the run-up to passage of H.R. 3076, or more specifically, in crafting the bill, I would like to explore Chairman Peters's priorities as he worked with Senator Portman and his House colleagues on crafting a bill. For example, what were Chairman Peters's priorities?
So it was a top priority just overall to put the Postal Service on a stable financial footing. After more than a decade of financial struggles, as you know, those have really harmed the Postal Service and undermined service. So the most important thing was to ensure that everyone can continue to rely on the Postal Service and we don't continue along this road that we've been on for 15 years. So the legislation focuses on key financial reforms to eliminate the financial burdens that they have that are unfair, and also focused on service protections and transparency measures like six-day delivery and the requirement to publish weekly local service data for every community. So he really just wanted to make sure this was a bipartisan, bicameral bill that would pass. And so we focused on those really consensus reforms.
We'll talk about the importance of the bill being bipartisan and bicameral in a moment. But as we know, Chairman Peters represents the state of Michigan, and particularly Detroit experienced notable mail problems over the past few years. And Chairman Peters was not shy about talking about those problems. How did his representation of Michigan factor into his thinking on developing the postal bill?
Well, I think we've seen in a number of ways over the past decade or so how the Postal Service's burdens have led to cost-cutting measures and compromised service. So one example of that was over the past few years, as you mentioned, and specifically during the pandemic when Senator Peters received over 7,700 complaints, mostly including from Michiganders and from people all over the country as well, about service. And he worked to do a lot of oversight and help reverse some of those changes. But that was one example. And every senator has other examples, from service changes that date back 10 years to run down post offices in their states. And I think it was clear to everyone, including Michiganders, after 15 years, that we really needed to do something for the Postal Service. And we hear every day from Michiganders, I'm sure everybody hears from their constituents, just how important the Postal Service is, because they interact with it every day. And they get medications, financial documents, you know, that's helping them run their businesses, helping them get social services. So every constituent who's written to us and every person who has spoken up has helped get this bill done, basically, because they've really showed everybody how important the Postal Service is to them.
The magnitude of the victory in the Senate, I mean, it was a landslide, 79-19. That's rather significant. How important was it for the bill to be bipartisan?
Oh, it was absolutely essential for the bill to be bipartisan and bicameral. We worked very closely with Ranking Member Portman, as well as House leaders, Chairwoman Maloney and Ranking Member Comer, specifically on the bipartisan aspects. Senator Portman was a great co-lead in the Senate to work with, and his team was very good to work with. He understands the importance of these issues. And we also had a group of 28 bipartisan co-sponsors, some half of them Republicans and half Democrats, who wanted to get this done in a bipartisan way. So I think that's a testament to how much every single member's constituents care about the Postal Service, and what we saw during the pandemic, even more of how important it is to people. But I think also after 15 years of crisis, people really could agree on getting this done. And we were very thrilled at the end to see 79 votes to pass the bill. Like you said, that's very uncommon to see that amount of bipartisan support.
Would have been nice to have been unanimous, but I guess that wasn't in the cards.
Well, I think you know, there's certainly unanimous support among constituents for how important the Postal Service is. But legislation is always hard to get done. So we were just very happy to see it go through.
I want to get a little bit deep in the weeds here, because a lot of our listeners and a lot of people out there don't realize the amount of work it takes to craft consensus and compromise, particularly at the staff level, because the staff do the groundwork for their members who they represent. How closely did you work with your House colleagues in drafting the bill? Because you referenced it was a bicameral bill. You deal normally with folks on the other side of the aisle on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, but you don't necessarily work on a regular basis with your colleagues in the House. How important was that working relationship?
Well, I think it's very important to work with House colleagues on anything if you really want to make sure it can go through. And Chairwoman Maloney and Ranking Member Comer and their staff were both really great to work with. And I think you had my colleague Ethan from the House Oversight Committee on NAPSChat, and he discussed the Four Corners process that we had. So you can listen to that more there. But I'll also say that we did work very closely together every step of the way in this Four Corners process, where we had staff from each of those key members and making sure that we could maintain that bipartisan support at the end of the day.
How did staff present policy options, or if there were issues, to their members of Congress?
Well, we talked to our House and Senate colleagues, like I said, multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day. And we had this bill that was very focused on the essential financial reforms and the service protections. And we worked together to keep it very focused. So I'll say the members also worked very closely together, as well as the staff. And Senator Peters, certainly, as well as his colleagues, I believe, was very engaged in the details on a regular basis. So there was a lot of member-level communication to ensure we could keep the bill on track and pass it. And I think all of those members were very committed. So there was a good work at both the staff and the member level.
You mentioned that the Postal Service has been in a critical condition or in a crisis for some amount of years, and there have been previous attempts to pass postal legislation that really haven't gone that far. In fact, none of them since 2006 has reached the president's desk, and there were key differences this time around. And I'd like to ask you, what role did the Postmaster General DeJoy, play in helping pass the bill?
Well, as you know, these reforms in the bill are consensus ideas that emerge over time. So they're actually drawn from past bipartisan bills. And the Postal Service and its leadership, including the PMG, recognized that these ideas were bipartisan and they had major consensus support already. So we worked very closely with the Postal Service career staff in crafting the bill and on technical aspects. And as Senator Peters has mentioned in other interviews, the PMG was certainly involved in building support and building relationships too. So it was really an all hands on deck approach to get the bill across the finish line. And, you know, we obviously had the Postal Service, and we also had countless stakeholders, and as I'm sure you know very well, and the people you work with, who also worked really hard to make calls and get this done. So I think it reflected a lot of support from all corners.
The White House sent up to Capitol Hill what's called the Statement of Administration's Policy, saying that they supported the legislation. I'm curious, to what extent was the White House involved in the development of this legislation?
Yeah, well, you did mention the Statement of Administration Policy, and that was certainly a positive that I think helped get the bill, you know, that came out right before the House vote. So that also reflected that we worked very closely with all the agencies on the text of the bill. So there was the Postal Service, and there are also multiple agencies involved in the Medicare integration piece. And it's very important in any bill to get technical assistance to make sure everything is working correctly. And it shows also just the broad range of support, again, you know, not only from the administration with that statement of support, but also from all the postal stakeholders, from groups representing the employees and folks like yourself to business community and many, many others who spoke up about it.
What people don't recognize, well, maybe now they do, is that the complexity of this issue, if people thought it was a slam dunk, but you had the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services involved. You had the Social Security Administration involved. You had the Office of Management and Budget involved. You had the Office of Personnel Management involved, in addition to the Postal Service. So there were a lot of balls up in the air, and I guess the administration had to play ringleader at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I can't at all speak for the administration, but it was definitely important to make sure that every agency could implement it and to make sure that we kept that bipartisan support and that we kept the support of all the stakeholders who were unified in wanting to pass the bill.
Were there any issues that were particularly vexing? And if so, how did the staff and the principals work to resolve them?
I think over the years, you've seen so many times how members and stakeholders have piled on so many different priorities. So some of those could be considered more Republican or Democratic priorities. But mostly it was really a matter of, in the past, people trying to fix every single problem at once. And that's what this time we really had to make sure we were not doing, you know, that we were focused on just the key issues, keeping other extraneous things out of this and not trying to solve everything at once. For example, hyper-local issues around zip code issues or individual localities. You saw those kinds of things come up in the amendment process, and we really had to keep it focused. So I think both sides worked hard with their members, and everybody worked hard while we were working through this bill to keep, you know, not only the technical issues, as we discussed, make sure everything was implementable, but to keep it focused on stabilizing the Postal Service, which was the core issue that all the co-sponsors could agree on.
Yeah, there were 41 substantive amendments to the bill, and all of them were sort of discarded. I wouldn't say members had the opportunity to speak to them, but there was a pretty tight agreement between the leadership to, as you say, focus on this bill and what the bill was trying to accomplish.
Yep, that's right.
With the passage of H.R. 3076, does Chairman Peters believe that the postal mission is complete?
No, this is a very important step forward. And, you know, I think he has said, Senator Peters has said, this bill really shows the American people that we can set aside partisanship and work hand in hand on something that actually materially affects every single person and improves their lives. But this, you know, after 15 years, we're doing this. We've setting the Postal Service on a more stable footing, supporting the goal of more reliable service. But there is more work to do. And I think there always will be more work to do in terms of making sure every day that the Postal Service can be more modern, more reliable, a great employer, and can really keep up a very high standard of service in every community. So the committee will have to continue working on those issues as it has for a long time.
So H.R. 3076 is not the end of the story.
No, I think the Postal Service's story is long and it's continuing. I mean, from my perspective, this is a historic piece of legislation, but the arc of the Postal Service's history is very long. It goes back to 1775 before the founding of the Republic. So the Postal Service has gone through as many different changes and challenges as the United States has. But it's always been there. It's always been serving the people. So it really takes daily care and attention to keep it going and to keep up that tradition. So we just have to keep focusing on it every day.
So the Senate and the House are going to continue their oversight responsibilities over the Postal Service, of course. And as things come up that need to be addressed legislatively, we can count on Congress to address them as it deems appropriate.
Yes, I mean, Congress's job, the committee's job is to do oversight of the Postal Service and to consider legislation related to the Postal Service. So I think we will keep doing that duty, and we're looking forward to the Postal Service implementing this bill and continuing to do its duty of really serving the people.
Any information on when the bill will be signed by the president?
I don't have any information on that at this time.
Okay, they're keeping a big secret now. Okay. Let me, final questions. You know, this is a big, big victory and a testimony to bipartisanship and bicameralism. I'm curious, your personal reflections as the key staff member on the Senate side on this issue, what's your takeaway?
Right. Well, I think my takeaways are encompassed in what we've already discussed, but my takeaway is that it takes a lot of work to do this type of legislation. It takes a lot of work not only by the staff members, but by many staff members before us and by our bosses, of course, the senators, and on both sides, the senators and representatives, the Republicans and Democrats and independents. And it takes a lot of work by stakeholders and by agencies. So we are very happy that everyone could agree on getting this done and that we are going to move forward with a better postal service. But like I said, it's a long history. It's been almost 250 years that the Postal Service has been serving the people. So this is just one more step, a very important step, but just one more step in getting the Postal Service to serve the people as it always has and it should.
I want to thank Annika Christensen of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee for joining me on this week's edition of NAPS Chat. Thanks, Annika.
Thank you, Bob.
Also, I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy.
I'm gonna bend right down and write myself a letter and make